me. Went into an area, good stuff, bent over, picked a few berries, but over the course of this last week, and as I've stood up and looked around, I've gone, wow, there's a lot more berries here than what I thought. Now, I will tell you this, when I get into a patch like that, I don't leave until I'm done picking. I don't go looking for the next patch. Nope, I'm going to stay and I'm going to pick some berries. So we're going to stay here. We're going to pick some berries. Maybe you like to shop. Maybe it's like walking into the boot barn or the dress barn and you go into the bargain aisle that they just stocked and you go, I'm not leaving here until I'm done. Or Cabela's or wherever you might find yourself. For me, it was Murdoch's. I was in wandering around this week at supposed to be working and I walked by the discount table. And it was full of Hydro Flasks that were like $50 Hydro Flasks for $11. So I came home and my wife said, what are you doing? Well, we can give them away for presents or something. I just couldn't leave them lay there. So anyway, here we go. Let's go picking a little bit. Just don't pick your nose. All right. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there. So this last week, I mean, I'll just say this. Every message to me is, I want it to be applicable. It has to be applicable in my life. But this one in particular was just made very real because there was many opportunities to practice it. And I was able to apply just a simple prayer. I don't want to make this a series of steps, but it's just there was a couple of simple things that I said, hey, last week, you know, if you try this, I think this is a great way to start the year. And I want to say something before I go into this. I think that God is offering his church a gift. And the gift is simplicity. And I guess I would just pose a question. And I know this may not even make sense when I pose the question, but you just take and you mull it around for a while and let it marinate and let the Holy Spirit work it into your heart. So let me ask you the question. Because I will say there are a couple of gifts that God gives. If you were to be offered the gift of simplicity, or, now this isn't either or, this is or. If you were offered the gift of simplicity or the gift of success, which one would you take? I've been reading Ecclesiastes this year. We were probably going to do a series out of Ecclesiastes. But when you view Ecclesiastes or a lot of scripture through the lens of the gift of simplicity, because I believe it's a gift that God gives, and I believe it's a gift he's offering to his church. It's really not complicated. The kingdom of God is simple. And today, we were singing, Our Father. We're singing the prayer, right? His disciples said, teach us to pray. And if you go back to last week's lesson, because I said this is really simple, there was a couple of things. One was, today is the day that matters most to God, right? And what I need to do today is to keep in step with him. Now, if you go through the prayer that Jesus taught them to pray, it had everything to do with understanding that today is the most important day, and all I need to do is stay in step with, if you're going to live by the Spirit, then stay in step with the Spirit. And that's what the whole prayer is about. It's really simple. And so this week, there were just opportunities where life just came crashing in, kind of like the snow. We don't do anything gradually. We don't ease into anything. We just hit it, right? And so life just comes in and it hits you and you go, oh, what do I do with that? But I stopped and I went, wow, today is the most important day to God. And I am standing in the middle of what he is doing. So rather than being anxious or frustrated or angry, God, what I want to do right here is I just want to be in step with you. And something happened each time I did that, it was like I got really close to a trap, not because I wanted to get there, it just found me. But yet I sensed that I had been set free from that snare to continue walking on and living. And the day would go on, and it's like, wow, God, being in step with you is simple. It's not that I know everything. It's not that I know how it's going to work out, but I have an awareness of your working, and I simply desire to be in step with you. And so there was a freedom that came. It's almost inexpressible because it's places that I have gotten snared before. Now, when I say snared, it doesn't mean I'm off doing some horrible thing. It just means that I'm stuck. I get stuck there, and I wallow around there for a while, and I pray, oh, God, help me, oh, God, forgive me, you know, and he gets me up, and we keep going. But I saw those things coming, and it's like, God, today is the most important day, and so if this is a part of my day, all I need to do is stay in step with you. And it was like I was just set free from that thing. I just set free from that thing. It's not that it wasn't there, but it wasn't dictating my course. How do you know you were in step with the Spirit? Because that's where I wanted to be. That was the most important thing to me. I just want to be in step with you. What'd that look like? I don't know. It was just being aware of his working. Now, you know, Galatians 5:25. Let me read Galatians 5:25 because this was kind of one of our verses in it. And it's simple. Simple. Those two simple things. Two simple things. Today is the most important day to God. I think that's something we got to wrestle to the ground. It's simple, but it goes against the grain of how we live because we're always headed someplace, aren't we? Right? If you were to walk out in our community about the beginning of September and ask random people, what's the most important day? Opening day. Right? Roy's going somewhere. The most important day is today. Because this is where God's working, and this is where his kingdom is coming, and this is where his will is being done. Today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not behind you. Today. I really believe that. That releases us to some things. And to be able to say, to be able to look at something and go, you know, I used to get stuck here, but today is the most important day to God. And if that's there, then God, my desire is not to fix that so I can have a better tomorrow. My desire is just to stay in step with you today. Okay, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, it's interesting because if you go back, that's really an anchor passage in my life, Galatians 5. Walking with the Spirit does look like something, being in step, and we're told about the character of God that's being developed in us, the love of Christ that's being shed abroad in our hearts, and that should be the fruit that's making its way out as we stay in step with him, right? But the great thing is that it's his character and not mine. God doesn't make my love better. He doesn't make my patience better. He gives me his love. He gives me his patience. He gives me his gentleness. He gives me his kindness. And he says, now, just stay in step with me. Right? Right? It's not like I got to develop this stuff, work it all out. He'll do all this. It's simple. It's really simple. And I think sometimes we just overcomplicate it. But again, it'll come back to the question again and again and again. If you were offered the gift of simplicity or the gift of success, which one would you take? Both great gifts. But again, maybe if we go into the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll get to just consider that together a lot. So I put here when I would respond in kind in those simple ways, I said this like I had gotten close to a trap, but hadn't gotten suckered into the jaws and snared. And it didn't seem to matter if it was a hiccup or a bronco-bucking jolt. When it was brought into the context of keeping in step with what the Spirit of Christ was doing, I was set free to continue living in step with the Spirit. How many of you know that's a great, I mean, if you want to have a good feeling, that's a great feeling. Wow, God, the place I have gotten snared, the place that I have felt trapped. Have you ever felt trapped? The place I have felt trapped and I begin to struggle, because remember what I said, the trap doesn't kill the animal. The struggle kills the animal. The devil knows that. All I got to do is get you in a snare. And if you're not willing to wait, because Scripture says only he can release my feet from the snare, right? You're going to struggle, and you will just flat wear yourself out. But it's even better yet when I recognize that I don't have to be stuck in the snare. How do we do that? Well, I don't believe God gets stuck in the snare. I believe he knows where to put his feet. I just want to follow in his steps. All right, so 2 Corinthians. We're going to spend some time in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Now, this is very interesting. I was thinking about this morning. Cecil read from 2 Corinthians. I've got quite a few passages. 2 Corinthians was a church that had some problems. And the reason it had problems is because the people of Corinth were successful people for the most part. Okay? And so they did things in step with that, and it caused a lot of problems. They had a lot of liberties, and they let their liberties become a snare. And so a lot of the correction that Paul brings to the Corinthian church is brought to a church who is embracing success, okay? And Paul calls them back to a place of simplicity, okay? I'm not saying success is bad. I'm just saying, what do we choose? What are we after? Because if I'm after success, I'm going to have to set simplicity aside. I don't agree with that. Well, Solomon does. And I think he's smarter than you. So, okay. All right, here we go. We'll get to that. What, doesn't that sound like a fun series? No. Yeah, it is. It's good. It's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk, okay, all right, we're going to pick up a theme here. For though we walk in the flesh, how many of you walk in the flesh? I walk in the flesh. I deal with it every day. All right, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to read verse 5 again. We're going to kind of focus on verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, the context for this statement that Paul makes, okay, I want to make this clear because context is king, is correctional. Paul is correcting the church of Corinth, and Paul is challenging the assertion of some that they were ministering according to the flesh, okay? That's what he's doing. This was not given as a text for spiritual warfare. Paul is correcting. However, the implication of what he says is true in the context of keeping in step with the Spirit of Christ, because he says, even though we live in the flesh and we walk, we do not war according to that same flesh. Okay? Even though we walk in the flesh, we are in step with the Spirit. Okay? So he's bringing correction, but the context is appropriate for staying in step with the Spirit. Okay? Because if you read Romans chapter 8. It says that those who are in step with the Spirit will not do what? They will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? Can we agree? And the Corinthian church is gratifying the desires of their flesh. So he talks to them about staying in step with the Spirit. And if we're going to war, we need to do it in step with the Spirit. In other words, we just need to be about what he's doing. We don't have to figure it out. We just need to be in step with what he's doing, which means most time an awareness. Doesn't mean I'm Johnny on the spot and I always know what's going on. I have an awareness and I'm ready to respond if he calls upon me. That's what scripture says. Today, if you hear his voice, what? Don't harden your heart. Well, why would I harden my heart if I hear from God today? Because I got another plan. And that's what I'm pursuing. And honestly, God, it doesn't look like what you said will get me to where I think I need to go. It's hardening your heart. It's not being mean or hating God. It's just saying, I think I want to go the direction I want to go. And God says, I want to give you the gift of simplicity. Just follow me. Yeah, but. You know what I call that? Yeah, but. That's sanctified mooning. No yeah, buts. Okay, all right. You'll get that later. All right. When we abide with the Spirit. Now, I like it, so I'm drawing in John 15 as well. Jesus said, abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So abide, I'm drawing that into this. When we abide with the Spirit, when we abide in step with the Spirit, we are empowered, Paul says, to destroy speculations and lofty thoughts that rise to trap us in our own understanding of things, the thoughts that are against the knowledge of Christ, we actually take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. Okay? This is what Paul is speaking about. He says, when we abide in step with the Spirit, we are empowered to take the things that rise up against the knowledge of Christ and take those things captive. Now, this is, you start talking about this and you get a whole stew of ideas about what this is about. But when you put it in the context, simplicity of staying in step, God is leading us someplace today, and there are going to be things that will rise up against that. And Paul says, if our desire is to keep in step with the Spirit, then we can take those things captive and make them obedient. And the thing he's saying is actually a military term. It's to take a prisoner of war, to make them a prisoner. That's interesting. That's interesting to me. So there's a lot more going on when we, it doesn't have to be complicated for us, but there's more going on than what we see. And sometimes it's helpful to see what's happening, right? Because when those things showed up in life, I had a choice to make. Will I become a captive of them, or will they become a captive of what God is doing today? Because today is the most important day to God. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done right here today on earth as it is in heaven. In this, we are set free to be in step with him. And this is where we need to see the picture of what's really going on when we respond to what is happening. When we remain or abide in step with the Spirit of Christ in this way, I think it's important for us to know where we are headed. Just another little thing I want to throw out there, and I said this, but this is kind of growing in my heart too. It's just another berry bush over here. Once something is fulfilled in Scripture, it remains a constant from that time forward. Once something is fulfilled in Scripture, it remains a constant from that time forward. So the prophecies that we were given about Christ, once they were fulfilled, It wasn't like they were done and we moved on. Now they become a constant in the life and the body of Christ. So when he came and became a light to those who sat in darkness, that still happens today. We're still living that out. It didn't just happen once and then. And so many of these other things that we read it as though it were an event, and now we need to move on. It was not an event. It became a reality of the body. It's a reality of the kingdom that we are still living out, okay? And so as we read Paul's words to the Corinthian church, we have to understand that what he says and the things that he says are not just an event that happened at a specific place. It's not a chronos. It's something that is ongoing, and it continues to be a reality in the body of Christ, because Paul uses some very specific language that we're probably not very familiar with, although the hearers of that day understood very well what was being referenced. So I want to read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and then we're going to do a little history. "We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Now, where is that happening? It's happening as we are abiding in step with the Spirit. Though we live by the flesh, we don't walk according to the flesh. We walk according to the Spirit. And when we walk according to the Spirit, this is what happens. Okay? So I want to give you another reference, and we'll do a little history lesson that gives some juice to what Paul's presenting. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. These Corinthians were very familiar with what Paul was about to say, even though we may not be. So I want to draw the picture, because they had a picture. When they heard Paul say this, they had a very specific picture. This was not vague. What Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." Very interesting, very specific. When does God lead us in triumph? It says always. You know what that means? Always. Isn't that a different way of thinking about, and I guess that's kind of what's transpiring in my heart as I go, God, this is the most important day to you, and I want to be in step with you. You are in the process of leading me in triumph. The worst thing I can do is get out of step with you. That's the worst thing I can do. The worst thing that can happen is not what's happening. The worst thing that can happen is me not recognizing that you are leading me in triumph and just simply saying, God, give me the grace to remain in step with you today. Okay? And where does God do this? In every place. In every place. Because when we say the word triumph, what do we think of? We think of good places. We think of places where we feel good about it and we know we're on top. But this just says every place, which is every place. It means he's leading me in triumph when I feel like I'm in the pit. That didn't sound very successful. No, but it does sound simple. Oh, man. I'm going to get in trouble with this one. All right. When we are in step with the Spirit of Christ, we are being led in triumphant procession. And that's actually, in many translations, that's what it says, where we see he leads us in triumph. It's triumphant procession. Now, that can be a word picture that varies drastically in our imaginators. Because what does triumphant procession look like to you? And so we're kind of left to our own devices sometimes to go, well, you know, where's God? Because I don't see the triumphant procession. So what's it look like to be led in triumphant procession? Well, again, this is very specific language. It is not vague. It doesn't even need imagination, because it points to a specific happening. So specific is what Paul says, that this phrase, triumphant procession, is only used twice in the whole of the New Testament, and it's never used again by anybody who writes after Paul. Very specific. It's only used twice. So the Greek word here, it's triumph. He leads us in triumph. So We are being led when we remain in step. Right? Old Chinese saying, he who leads with no one following is just man out for walk. Okay? We're called to follow. We're called to follow. Take up your cross and follow. Follow. Okay, so the Greek word for triumph or triumphant procession, and I got this in here so many times and I'll say it different every time, but it's 3-mbuio. 3-mbuio. All right, there I butchered it. I'll butcher it some more. It's a Greek word, but as translated into the English, it is triumphant procession. And this term points to a very specific event that you would witness in Rome, and actually in Rome itself, the capital, upon the return of a victorious general and his cohort of troops. And it was referred to specifically as the triumbuio, or triumphant procession. It was called a triumphant procession. And when Paul says he leads us in triumph, this is the exact thing that he's pointing to. And every Corinthian knew exactly what he was talking about. This was a victorious general coming back with his army, coming back with the prisoners of war, coming back with the spoils of war, and they would parade them through the heart of Rome in this celebration, and they would sing songs. And actually, let me read this. The triumbuio was a festal procession, and it was used to denote the Roman triumph celebrated by victorious generals on the return from their campaigns. The general entered the city in a chariot, preceded by the captives and spoil taken in war, and followed by his troops, and proceeded in state along the sacred way to the capital, where he offered sacrifices in the temple of Jupiter. He was accompanied in his chariot by his young children and sometimes by confidential friends, while behind him stood a slave holding over his head a jeweled crown. The body of the infantry brought up the rear with spears adorned with laurel. They shouted triumph and sang hymns in praise to their gods or to their leader. Paul described himself and the other subjects of Christ's grace under the figure of this triumph pomp, in which they were led as trophies of the Redeemer's conquest. So this is the picture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Christ leads us in triumphant processional. Now, are there any soldiers fighting at this point? At all times, everywhere, he is leading us in triumphant procession. What is required of the soldiers? Stay in step with the general. And what are they to do as they stay in step with the general? They are to sing praises to him and to our God. He always leads us in triumphant procession every place. Today is the most important day to God. And what he wants from me is that I would stay in step with him as he leads us in triumphant procession. When we abide in step with the Spirit, we are participating, Paul says, in the 3-mbuio of Christ. The triumphant procession. Now, there's a little more to this. And we'll pick up on it in this next passage. I said there's only two places. I'm going to take you to the next place. But at some point in the celebration, okay, and most likely at the Temple of Jupiter, if you were to actually see the procession, the Roman general would make a demoralizing public display of the general he had defeated while his army watched on as captives. The Roman general would strip his defeated foe's uniform of every symbol of victory and heroism that he had ever been awarded or taken. Every victory that general had won was stripped away and became the possession of the victorious general. This is part of the triumphant procession. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It's the only other place this term is used in the New Testament, this amboio thing. Look at what it says. Or Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed, triumphant procession, same word, over them through Christ. And we see in Hebrews 2 and Revelations 1, I'll just read Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So what did he do? Revelations chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 says he took away the keys of death and hell. He took away his power. He took away his victory. He took away everything that had ever been awarded to him, and he said, now it's mine. While all of hell watched on, he leads us always. It really is as simple as saying, God, I need the grace to remain in step with you. When I don't do that, I get snared up in other places. All right, let's see it. Let's go back to Colossians 2. You got to see this. Colossians 2, I want to look at the instructions that Paul gave the Colossians church leading up to verse 15. And this will help us circle back around where we started this morning. Okay, so Paul gives some instructions leading up to the statement that he made about when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, having triumphed over them. So go with me to verses 6 and 7 of Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so what? So walk in him. Oh my goodness. Having been firmly rooted and now built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. I have to ask myself a question when I read a statement like that. How did you receive him? Because it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. All right, we're having a pattern for keeping in step, right? How did you receive him? Victorious over your sin as a redeemer who sets you free to follow him. That's how you received him. As the victor. He was the victor. When I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I recognized he was the victor over my sin. He was more powerful. Now, I often lose sight of that reality that in the moment of redemption, it was his unseen plan that I was embracing and putting my trust in. As the shackles of my failed attempts and plans to set myself free fell to the ground. You know, those are our shackles. My plans to set myself free keep me a prisoner. They make me a slave. Why? Because I'm not able. When I received him, I understood in that moment, I have no power to change this, but he has all the power to change this. And he has overcome. And he has set me free. As you receive Christ, so walk in him. Because that wasn't an event, it's an everyday reality. He is your Savior as much today as he was that day. He is leading you in triumphant procession as much today as he was that day. Somehow or another, I seem to believe that he set me free so that I can go to war. I can't find it. He says, I set you free so you can follow me. Jesus said, take up your cross. Follow me. Follow me. Now, he didn't say that the walk would be easy. But he did make it simple. Know that this day is the most important day and that I am leading you in triumph today. Just follow me as you received me. As you receive him, so keep in step with him. Verses 8 through 10. Let's finish this up. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is head over all rule and authority. So here's the question. What happens when we exchange the simple obedience of seeking the grace of God to abide in step with the Spirit? What happens when we exchange that for another set of steps? Right? I can be in step with God, or I can be in step with something else. Paul says we become the captives again. What's he say? See to it no one takes you captive. Through what? Through another set of steps. Whether it be philosophy, empty deception, traditions of men, or according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Paul says we become captives again to the God we choose to follow. Listen, if I'm not in step with him, I'm in step with somebody. And can I tell you, this actually, I hope you don't think I'm getting cold and callous, but I just seen the reality of this again and again and again. If you embrace a false God, your false God will do the only thing false gods can do, and that's fail. And so there's sometimes I have watched and people have just been bent on having their false God. And so I go, whoop, well, go have that. Not because I don't care, but because I know it'll fail. And when it fails, you have the opportunity to come to your senses. Paul says, don't become captive again to these things. But in step with Christ. Now, when we are in step with Christ, it's very interesting. Paul says something else here that just grabs me, and it says, and in him, or in step with him, you have been made complete. Now, there was the Corinthian church, there was some teaching going around that to be complete, you had to do some things, right? There were some works that need to be done, and Paul is addressing this. But the truth is that in him and in step with him, I am made complete. And you know, earlier today when I said I had felt like I was being set free, the other thing I sensed is just a sense of completeness or wholeness, right? There was a wholeness in just going, God, I simply want to stay in step with who you are. Because in him or in step with him, I am made complete. I'm made whole. When? When everything's right? No, the instant I decide to be in step with him, I am partaking of his completeness. And in those moments, I go, man, usually I step over here and I try to take control and I try to do this, and I always feel defeated. I always feel broken. I always feel like I'm worn out. But yet, when I just simply said, God, today's the most important day to you. Obviously, you see this is happening in you. You're leading in triumphant procession. Would you give me the grace to be in step with you today? And there was a peace and a freedom and a completeness that settled. And I couldn't explain all that to you or why it was like that, but it's just his promise. And everywhere, in every place, at all times, he leads us in triumphant procession. And when we are in step with him, we partake of the completeness that he has offered to us. Can I tell you, there are people paying millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to find a completeness in their lives that they can't ever have. Why? Because they've been taken captive through philosophies of men, simple worldly thing, traditions, rather than simply saying, I receive what you've done for me and I want to walk according to it. It's simple. It doesn't mean that I always get it right. It's just that I'm willing, and that's where I want to be, and that's what I'm after. God, I want the gift of simplicity in my life even more than I desired success, Because if I desire success, guess what's going to snare me? Empty philosophy, empty deception, traditions of men, elementary principles of this world, rather than simply living according to Christ. When we reach for abiding in Christ, we begin to realize the wholeness that he so freely gives us. I'm not whole and complete because life finally aligned with my frantic efforts to make it good. I am whole and complete in the moments I follow in the steps of the one who made me free in the first place. And when I cry out to God to live this way, who becomes the captive? Now we're coming back around. Now we're going to talk about what he said in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Every thought that exalts itself against the completeness of God in our lives becomes captive and is led in the triumphant procession just like the prisoners of war in the days of Rome. And God makes an open show of them again and again and again. I like that. You want to show up? You want to try to sidetrack me? You want to snare me? How about you walk in the procession and you watch your boss get defeated again today? Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it, and I will walk in triumphant procession every place and at all times, receiving the wholeness that Christ has provided. Not because I got it all figured out, but because it's that simple. That this is the most important day to God. And all I want to do is remain in step with him the same way that I received him. They become the captives, marching in the daily triumphant procession of Christ, where he makes a public spectacle of their defeat. This is the most important day to God, and I want to abide in step with his Spirit today. There's some traps that maybe we'll spend some time talking about them. I mean, I've really kind of tried to boil this down to just those two things. When I embrace those two things, those two ideas, those two realities of the kingdom, it opens the door into some things that are absolutely amazing, but it's simple. It's just simple. I think God goes, hey, listen, if you can begin to practice this, you're going to find the kingdom open up before you. Because these are the keys to the kingdom. As you receive me, follow me. And just know that no matter what assaults you today, that today is the most important day to me, and it doesn't go unseen, and I've got it. I've already got it. Before you experienced it, I knew about it. I've got it. You don't have to fix it. Just stay in step. Now, this is why God gives us grace. Because I cannot stay in step with him on my own. I cling to him. Oh, God, help me. You know how Brent is. And he goes, yes, I do. Brent, do you want to be snared up in Brent again today? No. Okay, take your hands off of that. You know, if God wants you to fix something, he's going to tell you. And actually, if he tells you he's already got it fixed, he's just asking you to partner with him and walk it out. Because the picture of the New Testament is that the battle's already been won. And we are being led in what? Triumphant procession, where the enemy is already defeated. What I need to do is I need to stay in step with that. Because when I get out of step and I begin to lean on my own understanding and some other things, when I get assaulted by the world, one of the worst things I can do is begin to lean on my own understanding. That's why the first thing is so simple, is just to come back and go, God, today is the most important day to you. I know you see this happening. I know you're on it. I know you know exactly what needs to happen, and that in every place, at all times, you are leading me in triumphant procession. Please give me the grace to stay in step with you as we walk through this together, because you knew about this. Captive. captive. And the wholeness and the completeness and the peace of God that passes all understanding guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And then he says, right, Philippians, now we're in Philippians, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is, think on these things. Think on these things. Why? Because those are praises of triumphant procession. Whole nother sermon. So let's stop there. Father, we need the gift of simplicity that you offer. God, we desire to honor you and to come after you, but God, the gifts and the kingdom are right here, right now. And today is the most important day to you, and you are at work in today. You have not abandoned us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. God, we feel the pressures of life. We feel the tensions of life that push on us. But what Paul said is as true today as it was the day he said it, and that is you are victorious over this. God, we're not putting our head in the sand. We're just setting our face like flint to follow you because you are the victor. The Father said he's made all your enemies a footstool under your feet, and you've been seated at the right hand of the Father. You've made a public display of them, and you continue to do so each day. Spirit of Christ, would you guard us, lest we become ensnared and captive again by the empty philosophies and the ways of the world and just things that happen around us. God, those are the things that others have embraced. God, when they don't have the hope of a Savior, they embrace hopeless living. And sometimes that looks successful to us. God, we ask that you would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, that you would give us the grace to follow you, to be in step with you, to live our lives according to the Spirit of Christ that you have poured out upon us. Spirit of Christ, would you saturate our lives again today? Would you baptize us again afresh? Would you lead us into the truth? We thank you. And I pray that you would open our hands to receive the gift of simplicity from you. And that we would see how it operates in so many different ways throughout the next week as we have opportunity. Spirit of Christ, would you remind us to just place it in your hands, to reach for you, and to cry out and say, Spirit of God, help me to abide in step with you. Just an awareness. I just need an awareness that you're leading and I will follow after you. I will follow after you. You have already defeated my foe. And even though I might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and you lead me in triumphant procession for your name's sake, in the paths of righteousness, the paths of how you see it. Father, we thank you for all of these things. We ask for your grace, God, in abundance. Where sin abounds, God, their grace abounds that much more. We thank you for it. We give you honor. I pray that you would watch over each one of these. God, you know their lives. You know the places that we all get stuck. And God, you release our feet from the snare again and again. You're faithful, and only you can do it. Only you can do it. I pray if we realize we're stuck, that we would stop and wait for you. God, rather than struggling, to just begin in the practice. Only you can release my feet from the snare. But God, the next time, God, I pray that that thing would be taken captive. That it would be taken captive and marched down the street. God, that it would be made a mockery of by the Christ, by the cross of Christ. As I look to you, and relinquish to you and abide in your steps. Thank you for all these things. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.